But I believe God wants to shift our priorities and shift our understanding and begin to shift how we see Him and where He actually does life in our life on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis. That's the way we're going to have to live if we're going to impact the world we live in. Amen. And I just believe that today God is going to shift something. When I was getting ready for this morning, I spent a lot of time this week and most of the day yesterday and just searching my heart and just searching and seeking after what God was wanting me to share. And when I walked in this morning, He said, "You know what, Angela, I need you to be a seeker and quit being a hider." And I'm like, "Well, God, I'm not hiding. I'm not hiding." And He began to really shake me from the inside out. And I believe that today we're going to shake up the spirit of a hider to the spirit of a seeker. Because God isn't looking just for us to be something or do something. He's looking to have a consistent relationship with you and I. He's looking for consistency. And we've been in this season of prayer and of fasting. And if we have about a week left of this, but what I want to really push you to today is that we are not in 22 days. We are going to be in a consistent life of prayer and of fasting. And I want to talk today about the God that we want to go, that we want to go seek His face, not just His hand. Now, He's always good. And when we ask Him for things, His word says it. When you ask, He will do a thing. When we pray, He does, right? He gives, He heals, He provides. He's a good Father. But that's really not what consistent prayer life is. Consistent prayer life is a relationship with Him. And you can't have a relationship with somebody you don't hang out with. You can't have a relationship with someone that you only talk to them when you need something. Do you know any people like that? Do any of you have people in your life that they only call you when they need something? They're the people that when you pick up your phone and you're like, "Ugh, I'm not taking that call because they just want something from me. I'll look at that text later. All they want is something else from me." But that's how we do God. God, I need. God, give me. God, I need. God, will you? God, show up. God, do this for me. We are experts at crisis relationship with Him. And I believe God wants to teach us how to get out of that crisis relationship with Him and make Him the center. Make Him the actual center of a real relationship that is so addictive to us that I want to spend every waking minute with Him. And that's what I believe God's going to release this morning in these next few minutes. And I want you to open your heart and I want you to open your mind. Just close your eyes for a minute. Holy Spirit, right now, we push aside every distraction. We push out every obstacle, every thought that's been racing, all the stuff that we brought in here today that surrounds us all the time. And God, I pray that as Your voice begins to speak, God, let me get out of the way so that You can speak today. God, let us hear Your voice like we've never heard it. God, let us feel Your presence like we've never felt it. God, we want to experience You, not just what You do for us, but God, we want to know You. So God, right now, help us to open our hearts, to open our spirits, to be awakened and alert to what you want to bring into the center of our lives today. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Thanks, Will. I feel a little bit in a prophetic mode this morning. So if I don't have my normal 5-point message, it's because, like I said, when I walked in, I had a great message on my fancy iPad. And I went back to the office, and instead, God just started downloading to me. He said, this is what I want you to say today. This is what I want you to say today. So that's what I'm going to say. And I believe that's a sign of what God wants us, how he wants us to do life in this season. Actually, how he desires for us to do life. So we've been in this series around seek first. Somebody say seek first. Look at somebody and say seek first. Look at somebody else and say, what are you seeking? What are you looking for? You know, one of the most powerful things that I probably use every single day right now of my life is this thing on my phone, on my tablet, on the computer called a search bar. Does anybody use the search bar? How many of you go to the search bar to find the file, find the folder, find the thing? You go on Google, and what do? You search. And whatever you type in to that search bar, whatever, whether it's a search engine on the web or whether it's something on your device, whatever you type in, that device or that the World Wide Web goes on this massive search to narrow everything down to the word that you typed. And so searching is really powerful. And so we live in such a blessed generation because we can go search for anything. I don't have to go find an encyclopedia and the 10, 12 volumes on the shelf and go find the one with the letter L and then go to this page and go find one. No, I just pull up my phone and I just pull up Google and I just go search it. And I get frustrated when I have to wait more than 30 seconds for it to show up on my phone. And I'm like, why is it taking so long? How many of you have ever typed words in there and you get something completely opposite of what you're looking for? God said to seek him. We've been in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and then all these other things will be added to you. And Tim and his righteousness. And Tim, if you've not heard the messages the last 2 weeks about seek his kingdom and seek his righteousness, you need to go listen to them. And he does want us seeking his kingdom. And he does tell us to seek his righteousness. But ultimately, you know what God is looking for? He wants you and I to seek him. Seek him. Seek relationship with him. Seek time with him. Go searching for him. I want to read you a couple of scriptures in Psalms 14. And I'm sorry, I did not give any scriptures up there to the projector because I didn't know which ones I was going to use. I'm just going to be honest. Psalm 14 and verse 2. It says this, Yahweh looks down in love, looking over all of the sons and daughters. He's looking to see if there is anyone who acts wisely, any who are searching for God and wanting to please him. What does that mean? That means God is a seeker and he's looking for seekers. Because in the one translation, I think in the message, it says, God stuck his head out of heaven and is looking all around for people who are seeking and want to search for him. You know what that tells me? The nature of God, he's a seeker. And the nature of God is in you and I. That's why we're constantly wanting to seek the new thing. We constantly want to search for the new thing. We get tired of things. It becomes monotonous, the things sometimes in our life. And God's like, I never get boring. If you would search for me. Are y'all with me? Say, I'm a seeker. The word seek means this. It means to go on a search for something. To go on a search for something or someone in order to find it. We don't just search aimlessly. We search in order to find. To go in search of, to look for, to find, to obtain, to discover. That's what the word seek means. And if you never go looking, you'll never find it. If you never go searching, you'll never discover it. Now, how many of you played hide and seek when you were little? How many of you still play hide and seek? Don't raise your hand. I'm just kidding. I was not a big hide and seek fan because I don't like to be surprised. I don't like to be hiding somewhere. I don't want to have to go to all the trouble of going to try to find out somebody else's amazing way of trying to hide from me and then jump out or yell or whatever happens when you play hide and seek. And I used to have friends when I was little, and they always wanted to play hide and seek in the dark. I'm like, what is wrong with you people? And I remember when I was just about 8 years old, 8 or 9 years old, you probably don't even know this story. My mother probably didn't know this story. Actually, she does, because this happened. Yes. So, anyways, we were living in Tulsa, Oklahoma at the time, and I had these crazy friends, and I grew up in church, so we were always at church. Always at church, always at church. And so when we would be there, we would have to find ways to entertain ourselves at church. When we were there for meetings or we were there late or whatever was going on. And so one particular day, it was a bunch of us kids, and I think a lot of the adults were in a meeting, and of course no one was watching us, which was great. And so we decided to go into this big room, flip the lights off, and play hide and seek in the dark. This was not my idea, but I participated. And so at some point in the dark, when we were all frantically running and somebody was trying to find us, I ran smack into another little girl, and I had a giant black eye. Do you remember that? And so I was like, this is why you don't play hide and seek in the dark, right? But I had this giant, giant black eye. Why? Because I couldn't see what I was looking for. And actually, it was kind of mass chaos because nobody really knew where they were hiding or what they were really seeking for. It was just kind of this mass chaos. And sometimes that's how we seek after God. We seek after Him in the darkest places and when it feels chaotic. That's the crisis seeker. And God's like, listen, I didn't say just seek me when something's wrong. I didn't say just go find me and seek me and search me out when you're in a crisis and when you're upset and when you're devastated and when everything is falling apart, although you can. But if you could know Him and have relationship with Him and search after Him consistently, when the crisis comes, you would be able to handle it because you would already be prepared with what was built in your life. So I'm going to give you some of the DNA of a seeker. The DNA of a seeker, a seeker is consistent. A seeker is somebody who's consistent. Well, that's revolutionary, Angela. Listen, we don't do very many consistent things in our life. We are very quick to shift and change, but God is looking for consistency. If you've ever studied the life of Daniel, and if you can look in Daniel chapter 6 and verse 10, It's where it said they had made a decree that anybody who prayed was going to get thrown into the lion's den. The king was just regretting having made this rule because he really liked Daniel, but he couldn't fix it because he was manipulated into it. And it said that Daniel went as he always did, and he went and he prayed just like he did three times a day that he had done since his youth. It doesn't expound on what Daniel prayed. It doesn't expound on his 5 points to perfect prayer. It didn't expound on how his relationship with God, or why he prayed 3 days, or why his window was open when he prayed, or why he turned towards the direction of Jerusalem when he prayed. It just says he did it consistently every day. He, three times a day. And I don't think that when Daniel went to pray, he was always begging God to do something for him. I think that when Daniel went to pray, it said he would go before him with praise and thanksgiving in his heart. It means that he would go sit and he would declare who God is. And probably sometimes Daniel just sat quiet. But it was about being consistent. When we say, the word says, pray continually in all things, give thanks, right? But here's the thing. We think because I prayed the 2-minute prayer in my car, I prayed consistently today. I'm telling you, it's going to require something of you and I to go to the next level of relationship with God. It's going to require us to go to the next level. Say, seekers are consistent. Seekers are hungry. Seekers are hungry. We've been talking a lot about hunger. This morning when I woke up and I had gotten back in the bed. I don't know why I did. That's a terrible thing to do because then I'm always like so sleepy. But I was sitting there and my stomach was just growling and growling and growling. Anybody know that feeling? I hate it when I'm like in the dentist chair. That's inevitably when my stomach's going to growl. Like when they're cleaning my teeth and that's all you can hear in the room. But this morning my stomach was growling. And growling, growling. And I was like, yeah, I need to get up and maybe fix something. I'm trying to just do liquids in the day. And I was just like, that's just kind of depressing. I'll just not have anything. But the thing is, I was hungry. My body was hungry. And what happens is, if you're not hungry, then you won't eat. And what we're doing is we're filling ourselves and we're feeding ourselves with all the things that God never said to feed us with. So when we get in his presence, we're full. We're not hungry. It's why we'll come in a service and we're singing about God being worthy. And it's just like, this is awesome, man. What a great, this just feels good in here. This feels good. I'm really full of everything else. I'm pretty tired today. I'm just going to hang here in my chair and let Will and Stephanie and Lydia up there. They're doing a great job, aren't they? They're just doing a fantastic job. Woo! Man, they love Jesus, don't they? They just have a lot of passion up there. That's so great. Man, I'm still trying to wake up. I'm probably going to go get a cup of coffee in the lobby here in a second, and I'll be back. That's not hungry, y'all. That's not hungry. But here's the thing. We come in already full. We're not thirsty. We're not hungry. You're like, Angela, this is such a hard message. Okay, good. We need the hard things to push us to the next level. We can't end 22 days of prayer as a house and then be like, check the box, did that for 2022. No, we are going to be a house of prayer. Jubilee is a house of prayer. We are going to be a people of prayer. We are going to be a people that are hungry to go after God. That is who we're going to be. So if we talk about it and we preach about it and we just keep talking about it over and over and over, we're going to keep talking about it till we do it. We're going to be that because that is the relationship with God. Listen, I heard this story not too long ago for a preacher, and he was talking about his little kid that when he had a little guy, and they were spending time in prayer doing something, he and his wife, and they had just let him kind of meander about the house and do his own thing, which why in the world you would let a toddler do that, I don't know. But they went to find him because it got quiet. You know how it is when it gets quiet? You know your kids are doing something they shouldn't do. When it gets quiet, Tim and I are like, where's Sophia? What is happening? Where is she right now? And so it got quiet. And so when they went to go find him, they found him on the floor. He had taken the toilet roll off, the toilet paper roll off. He had put the toilet paper roll into the toilet. He had taken it back out, and he was sucking on the toilet roll. That's something you don't want to search for. You know what I'm saying? And so apparently the mom came in, and she was like, oh, he's thirsty. Now, what would enable that? I would just have lost my ever-loving mind right there in the bathroom. But here's the thing. We're thirsty, but we're drinking toilet water. Think about that. Because what we're doing is we're drinking and we're eating the wrong things. And so therefore, when we come to God, we're not thirsty. I drank a whole bowl of toilet water this week. I'm great. I'm not thirsty. I don't need anything from God today. We have to change our diet. We need a diet plan for your spiritual life. You and I need a new diet plan. We need a new lifestyle change. You know, they say diets don't work because you have to have a lifestyle change. And I believe that's what God is looking and expecting. He's searching for you and I. He's looking for you. He's looking for those who are looking for him. Say, seekers are hungry. Don't drink toilet water, all right? Seekers are hungry. Seekers are relational. Seekers aren't just going after what you can do for me. They're going after the relationship. In a marriage, in a relationship, in a marriage relationship, if you do not have some sort of searching for each other, some sort of desire for one another, that marriage is not going to last. Eventually, the physical part of your marriage won't sustain you. Eventually, the honeymoon phase you had won't sustain you. Eventually, there will come things that will be things that you have to overcome together. And if you aren't seeking one another for the relationship and you're not working at it, it will disintegrate. Desire without some sort of discipline will dissipate in your life. Let me say that again. Desire without some sort of discipline will dissipate. Tim and I, this year, we will have been married 30 years. I wasn't that old. He married me when I was a negative 2. Just kidding. But here's the thing. We have to work at this, don't we? Yes. We have to work at this relationship. Why is that? Because I want to keep it. Because I love him and he loves me. And even when we disagree, and even when it gets hard, and even when we have temptations to do things that would hurt the other person, it's our responsibility to work at it. That's called discipline. And one day, Tim and I think we'll, some of the detail of some of the things we've walked through, I'm hoping we can share all of that. But I'm just telling you, over and over and over, we've had plenty of times to quit. And let me tell you something, seekers aren't quitters. Seekers aren't quitters. We're always searching. I'm not going to quit on God because he didn't do what I asked him to do. See, my relationship with God is not based on what he does or doesn't do. There are people I love, I have prayed for. God did not heal them on this earth. I can't explain that. That doesn't change my relationship with him. That doesn't change the fact that he is a healer. That doesn't change the fact of who he is. But I am so strong in my relationship with him that when things don't go right this way, it doesn't faze me. See, when I am in a relationship with my husband, when things don't go well, there is a foundational relationship that will sustain what doesn't go well. Y'all are awfully quiet. We aren't just searching for things. We are searching for him. God is not your vending machine. And I think sometimes we treat God, especially when it comes to prayer, we treat him like we're just buying something or we're making a transaction with him. God, if you do this, I'll do this. How many of you have ever made a deal with God? I have, many, many times. God, if you'll just do this, I'll give you my whole life. I'll lay it down, blah, 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 till tomorrow. And then tomorrow, something crazy just knocks me off my feet. And I'm thinking, God, where are you? You're not even here. You left me. And God's like, I haven't gone anywhere. Haven't changed my mind. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I'm not going anywhere. You're the one who keeps changing because there's no consistency in you. Listen. Seekers are going to go after him with everything that we have. We're going to be relational. He's not a vending machine. Now, I'm going to say again, don't miss what I'm saying. God says when we ask, he gives. And when we ask him to heal or provide or do those things, he does those things. He's a good father. He loves to do those things. But he wants you to know him as father, not just as the one who writes the check for you. See, when we married our daughter Jasmine off to Noah last March, man, they've almost been married a year. Oh my gracious. You kids. Woo. But when we went to marry them and we went to have the wedding, Tim's role was not just to write the check for the wedding. Although unfortunately he did have to do that. But it wasn't just swipe the card and pay, that's your responsibility, you're the dad. No, she knows him as her daddy. So for him to pay for the wedding, that was just, that's extra, that's a bonus, right? Everything comes out of the relationship. Somebody say, seek first. Seekers are alert. What do I mean by that? They're always looking, they're always listening. So how many of you have a watch or some sort of thing that will ping your stuff when you don't know where you left your phone or whatever? Does anybody have one of those? I have to have that. That is the only reason I own this watch right here, because I constantly lose my phone. And so I will go, there's a little thing on here you can go and you can hit it, and it will make a ping sound on my phone wherever it is. Right? And I constantly forget where I laid down my phone. And so I'm walking around the house pinging this thing over and over and over. It's like ding, ding. And I'm like walking through the house like, where is it coming from? It's here. Nope, nope, nope. It's over there. Ding, ding. Oh, no, no. It's getting less. Nope. I think it's here. Right? And so I have to really be alert to listen for what I'm looking for. And if you've, back to hide and seek, if you've ever played hide and seek, you want it to be quiet. You want to hear them accidentally breathe or cough or sneeze, because you'll find out where they are. Listen, seekers are alert. They're listeners. They block out the other voices that get in the way. Because when I'm trying to search for God, every other voice is so loud. Everything else in my life seems so loud. Why is that? Because the enemy wants to get you distracted so you can't hear the one you're searching for. We got to be alert. We got to be awake. We got to be listening. I want to know when God breathes. I want to know when God whispers something. Listen, when Abraham went and God gave him the word to go and kill his only son that God gave him, he said, I want you to go and I want you to go sacrifice Isaac. And Abraham was obedient. He took his son, he gathered all the firewood, he got the knife, he got all the things. And they headed down or up or wherever they went. Up, I think. When they began to head up that mountain to go do this, Abraham had heard the voice of God. What if when he got up there and God said, hey, wait, I've got a different way. What if he had only listened to the first word and he was too busy with all the drama in his head that he missed the voice of the most important instruction that God had for him that saved his son? See, we can't just listen to the one thing. That's why it's got to be consistent. We got to be listening to God all the time. We got to be asking him, God, what are you saying? Maybe you've never heard God's voice before. This is a great way to practice. You got to practice. You know that you should know somebody when they call your phone, even if you don't see who it is and you pick it up. If you have a relationship with them, you know their voice. You know their voice. And so God, I believe God wants us to know his voice so clear. You know, sometimes we're like, I don't know, it might have been God. I think it was God. Could have been me. Could have been. How about if we have this thing, this relationship with him that is so strong, we always know instead of having the big question mark. Man, God, I knew that was you. I knew that I know that I know that I know. I know your voice. I know that whisper inside of me. I know that still small voice I hear. I know what that sounds like. I know what I feel like when you talk like that. That's what God's looking for. That's what seekers do. They're alert. They're listening for the voice. Seekers are passionate. I want to read you this scripture. Man, you guys are so quiet. I'm just going to let it be really quiet for a minute. I'm just kidding. Silence makes everybody feel a little on edge. Do you notice that? Because we're so not used to silence. It's okay to pause sometimes. It's okay to pause in the presence of God. It's okay to pause when you're praying and just shut everything off for a minute and let him talk to you. And maybe sometimes we're trying to get into a prayer, a place of prayer, and you don't feel like praying, anybody? You don't feel like it. And you know what I'm going to tell you. Feelings have nothing to do with prayer. You need to be disciplined. Go do it. But sometimes I will just go sit in the presence of God and I don't say a word because I feel defeated today. I feel at the end of my rope today. I feel that doesn't drive me away from God. Instead, what I do is just go sit. And I'm like, God, I really don't have a lot to say today. All I know is I love you and you love me, and that's what I'm relying on today. So I'm just going to be with you. And if you say something, awesome. If I say something, great. But I just need to be with you. That's the kind of relationship he wants with us. We all have that desire in us to have that kind of relationship. So seekers are passionate. Seekers are, they're looking for something to believe in, right? It says in Matthew 7, which is just one chapter over from where we've been focused, Matthew 7, verses 7 and 8, it says, ask and the gift is yours. Seek and you'll discover or find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For every persistent one will get what he asks for. Every persistent seeker will discover what he longs for. And everyone who knocks persistently will one day find an open door. Look at Hebrews 11:6. It says this, and without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. For we come to God in faith, knowing that he is real and he rewards the faith of those who passionately seek him. What are you passionate about? Listen, we sing worship songs. I don't know if it was any of the songs today, but we sing these songs like, there's nothing like you, God. Nothing compares to you. But we actually don't believe that. I brought something with me. I didn't know if I was going to use it, but I'm going to grab it. How many of you have ever been to a sporting event? Yeah. Come on, wave your hand at me. We live in the South. You people are sports fans. It's exhausting. Here's this thing. Here's what we have. This isn't the really big one, but, you know. We're like, I'm number one. I'm number one. That's what we do to God. He's not number one. We're rooting for our team all the time. I'm rooting about me. I'm rooting for my agenda and my plan and my wants and my desires and what I have and all my selfish things. And God's like, I need you to take that foam finger off, and I need you to allow me to be number one. That's why he says seek first. And when you go to a game, listen, I've seen some of y'all. Devin, we just heard a story about Devin and what happens to him at sporting events. And what he becomes this, if you know Devin Cohen, he's this very calm, happy, gentle-natured sort of guy. Apparently, unless he gets in a football game, whether it's on TV, whether it's in person, he becomes this different person. Like, stuff changes. His voice changes. His everything changes. Why? Because he's passionate about that game. He's passionate about winning. Even though Florida State doesn't really win right now, I'm sorry. But, sorry, that's Tim's team as well. But here's the thing. When we're passionate about it, we lose all normalcy about us. That's why it said in the word that David, he would come and he would praise and he would worship and he would do that to the point that he embarrassed his wife. He was so crazy. He was dancing all over the place. He was celebrating. He was thanking God. He had gone passionately crazy for God. And I know that we're not applying this because we come in church and we all sit like we're these little frozen icicles in the purple chair. But take you to a football game and you'll be passionate all day long. So tell me, who are you most passionate about? Because if we're passionate about him, then we don't care what gets in the way. I don't care who sees me. I'm gonna do whatever because I'm desperate to have relationship with him. See, one of the reasons right now I've been seeking God about reaching this generation. This generation doesn't want to hear anything else about what you and I have to say. They have seen enough hype. They need an experience. And if you and I don't start demonstrating and setting ourselves up and making space for experience, you should pray. You should pray every day. You should pray to Jesus. See, if my children, if Sophia, and then, you know, Jasmine, even though she's older, but if they only see me as the preacher who gets on a pulpit, but they don't see me having a relationship with God day in and day out, then I've missed it. We've got to have something out of our lives to export. We've got to have something out of our homes to export. I don't want to talk to you about marriage if I'm not working on my own marriage. I don't want to talk to you about parenting if I never pay attention to my children, but I make you think I do. I'm going to speak out of my experience. I'm going to live life out of my experience. And the things that have sustained me, I've had people ask over and over and over because I have walked through some garbage in the church. And we've heard enough about that in the last couple of weeks. But I'm telling you this, I'm not moved by that because my relationship with God is so, my experiences with Him, you can't take that away from me. I can tell you about it all day long, but until you have your own experience in His presence, you have your own experience in a moment of worship, you have your own experience where you hear His voice for the first time, that's what will transform you. I remember laying on my face at the building down the street that we fondly call the warehouse, where we first, one of the first buildings, wasn't the first place Jubilee started. And it had concrete floors and this god-awful red shag carpet, and it was horrible, and purple curtains. I was like, I don't understand these colors. And I was a teenager, and I thought my parents had lost their mind, but I was watching them pursue God regardless of the obstacles. And they kept making space for me to have an experience with God. Over and over. Sometimes I got dragged. Sometimes I wanted to. Sometimes whatever. But they kept me in this place where I couldn't help but have an experience. And I remember a particular meeting where, I don't remember, I think it was during the offering. It wasn't even something spectacular like some big altar call. And I remember laying on my face, and I remember really hearing God's voice so almost audible for the first time in my life. And I remember that moment, and I know that His presence is real and that His voice is real because I experienced it for myself. I remember being 8 and 9 years old and going to a kids' camp and getting filled with the Spirit and not understanding what it means to speak in tongues when I'm like, these people are crazy. What does this mean? But I remember God literally consuming me to the point that I could not stop weeping. And I was like, this is the best feeling I've ever had in my life. Those experiences are what sustain me. Otherwise, we're just speaking to intellect. But I'm telling you, it is a season for us to begin to be spirit to spirit. And if we're in relationship with God, I'm telling you, you can't help but get passionate about Him. I hope I'm stirring you up today. The phone finger. Will's going to be like, why is that on the keyboard? I'm going to end with this. I don't even know what time it is. I'm going to end with this. Listen, we got to have that passion. Turn with me to Jeremiah 29. I just love when the Holy Spirit talks to me when He's up here. Listen, if you're passionate about something, you're joyful about it. Some of you say you have joy, but I need your face to catch up with what you said. Because there is no, you'd look like you have no joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay. Let me see it. Show me. This is a show me generation. This is a show me generation. Jeremiah 29. I want to mention this before we read this. On the website at jubileepensacola.com, you can go to the prayer site that we've been using where it's got kind of a schedule of things we've been praying for daily in agreement on. But there's also a place on there about how to pray. And it's a nice detailed version of how to take the Lord's Prayer and make it something that you can pray every day. It's the best template you can have to learn to pray. And so I encourage you to go on there and get it. And we could print cards and do all that stuff, which we can do. But I want you to get that because it says when we talk about the Lord's Prayer, the first thing you do is going in hallowing His name, right? You're going in with praise and you're going in with thanksgiving and you're going before Him. Everything in there is about Him. It's not about you. It's about seeking him. God, I want to glorify you. Your will be done. Not my will. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God, what is your will for my life? What is your will for my family? What is your will for my children? What is your will for my marriage? What is your will for my job? What is your will for this nation? What is your will for Pensacola? What is your will, God? Because my will really isn't working out very good. So if I could follow your will, then maybe we would make an impact. Jeremiah 29. I'm going to start in verse 10. This is God's word on the subject. Now I want you to pay attention to this line right here. As soon as Babylon's 70 years are up, and not a day before, I will show up and take care of you as I promised, and I will bring you back home. I'm going to stop there. This entire chapter that you know, the famous verse that says, for I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, not to harm you, but to give you hope and a future. That's the next verse we're about to read. But this whole chapter was written to the exiles in Babylon. You know who one of the exiles in Babylon was Daniel. That's how Daniel's whole story starts. You should go read the whole book of Daniel. It's only 12 chapters. You can read it in under an hour. And what you found is right here, this whole chapter of Jeremiah 29, is Jeremiah is giving a word from God to the Daniels of the world who were in captivity in a culture they disagreed with. And he goes on and says, listen, I need you to seek me with everything you have. I need you to plant yourself, find a spouse, have children, and begin to be my life in the middle of that pagan culture. That's what this whole chapter is. But it says in that next verse, and I'm reading out of the message, I know what I'm doing, says the Lord. I have it all planned out. Plans to take care of you, not to abandon you, plans to give you the future that you hope for. And when you call on me, when you come and pray to me, I'll listen. Verse 13, when you come looking for me, you will find me. Yes, when you get serious about finding me and you want it more than anything else, I'll make sure that you won't be disappointed. It's not just that God has plans for you and a hope and a future. He does. That's always the encouraging part. But you need, there's a little bit of a, if there's a condition there, because it says, he's going to do all this. He knows what he's doing. He's got plans for you. When you call on me, when you come pray to me, when you come looking for me, when you get serious about finding me, then you won't be disappointed. He didn't say, come looking for all the things I have. He didn't say, come bring your list. And how many of them checked off have I done for you so far? He said, come looking for me. He said, be a seeker. And Daniel had to learn to be a seeker in the middle of counterculture, where he was brought into captivity. He was given a pagan name. He had everything taken from him. He lost his family. He lost his ability to worship God freely. He lost his name. He lost everything. And the entire time, if you read the book of Daniel, he is promoted over and over and over in the middle of a pagan culture. He gets promoted over and over and over. He gets favor with the king. God speaks to him. He starts learning how to hear God's voice. He starts learning how to interpret dreams. And as you begin to read in the rest of the book of Daniel, you'll begin to find God was revealing things to him that we are starting to see right now. Because Bible prophecy, the Daniel is one of the most accurate books for what's happening in our world right now. Do you know where that came from? Do you know why God started? Because Daniel chose to search after.
him.
Come on, stand with me. We're going to be a house that seeks him. I want to have a life that God isn't always looking for me while I'm hiding, but I'm looking for him. God, I want to go looking for you. You know, in Genesis, Adam, God, it said God would show up at the same time every day and talk with Adam in the cool of the day. And after Eve had her little moment with the tree and the serpent, God showed up, but Adam wasn't there. And he didn't go looking for him saying, oh, Adam, are you okay? He said, where are you? And I hear that question. I hear God asking us that today. Where are you? I'm looking for you. Come looking for me. Come on, just close your eyes. Holy Spirit, thank you that you come and you seek us out. Thank you, God, you sent your son. It said you came to seek and save the lost. That's why you came, Jesus. You came. You sought us out. You came looking for us. You came seeking us. You became flesh on this earth and you came and gave your life for us. God, show us how to seek you. Show us how to seek you first. Before we seek after someone's opinion, before we seek after somebody's experience, God, we want to know yours. We want to know your voice. God, we want to be passionate for you. We want to know you. We want to seek after you like we've never have in our lives, God. Holy Spirit, teach us how to be seekers. Teach us how to search the way you search. Teach us how to find things the way you find them, the way you found me, the way you found us. We want to seek you where you may be found. I just believe that today God is looking for hearts that want to search after him. And I know this was an intense message. I know. But I'm telling you right now, it's where we've got to get to. We cannot continue to go through feel good. That made me feel happy. Step 1, 2, 3, that I don't apply after 24 hours. We got to be in relationship with him. It's the most important relationship that you have in your life. And before we talk about that commitment, if you don't have a relationship with him, maybe you don't know him. Maybe you used to know him and you feel like you don't know him anymore. I want to ask you first. We want to pray with you first. This is your chance to seek him first right now and make him first place in your life. Is there anybody? I'm going to ask you just to meet me up front. Just to come down here and say, I want to know God. I want to rededicate my life to him today. I want to build that relationship like you're talking about. I want him to come in and I want him to show me how to live his way, how to do it his way. Is there anybody in the room? Anybody in the room? You need to find Jesus today. Like, I want to know him the way you talked about. I want to know him that way. Anybody else? He came to seek and save those who were lost. And when we can't find our way, he will help us find our way. Anybody else? If I could just have somebody come up here and just pray with her. For the rest of us this morning, I just want to put a demand on your spirit today to go to the next level in your relationship with him. It's so simple. It's that simple. I want to make every move every day by the leading of his spirit. I want to know him so deep and so real that it is no different to me to have a conversation with you than to have a conversation with him. that's you this morning, you're like, God, I just want to go deeper. I want to go to a new place. I want to be alert. I want to be passionate. Maybe some of you need your passion awakened today in the Spirit. Maybe some of you just need to make the fresh commitment for consistency. Maybe you need to ask God, God, help me. Show me the things I've been eating and drinking that I need to get rid of because I want to be hungry and thirsty for you. Come on, if that's you and you want to go deeper, I'm just going to ask you to meet me down here. We're just going to make a commitment. It's just a thing of coming and saying, God, I'm going to a deeper level. God, I'm going somewhere I've never been. God, I want to have a relationship with you deeper than I've ever had. God, I want to go on a honeymoon with you all over again. God, I want something to be awakened in me. I want to be alert. I want to be passionate, God. I need to work on my consistency. Come on, there's more of us in this room. Come and make a declaration. I don't know if I want to make that commitment to God. What if He holds me accountable to it? Awesome! God, we come right now in your presence. Come on, just begin to ask Him whatever you came up for, whatever it is that you made a step up here for. What is it that you know you got to go to the next level in your relationship? Begin to tell Him right now. God, I pray. I'm going to be consistent. God, I want to come hungry. I want to come thirsty. God, show me how to get consistently to a place of prayer with you. God, show me. Teach me how to have a relationship with you. God, I don't want to be number one. I want you to be number one. What is it? Just begin to tell Him out of your own mouth. I can't make your prayer for you. I can't make your commitment for you. You have to make it. You have to make it. Show us how to be seekers. Show us how to be seekers, God. Show us how to be seekers, God. We want to seek you. We want to be a house that seeks your face. God, we want to be people that seek your face. When we seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, then all the things that your hand carries will happen. But we want to seek your face. We long to seek your face, God. We desire to seek after you. We want to search after you. We want to know you. Come on, I know it feels heavy in here, but commitment is heavy. Commitment is important. Covenant is important. Relationship takes work. God, we commit ourselves again. God, we lay our lives down again. God, we lay our flesh down again. God, we put aside the things that have been in the way. God, we push out every distraction today. God, I push aside everything the enemy has been trying to trip us up with. And today, God, we make it about you. Not even about what I want today. It's just going to be about you. Come, Jesus. I recommit my life all over again.
The more I seek you, the more I find you.
Come on, I'm telling you, some of you are about to have an encounter with Jesus like you've never had.